Okay.
Correct.
Gentlemen, you have a copy of the agenda? No corrections, please. I'll take a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve the agenda for Sussex County Council for January 29th as in printed form.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the agenda as printed. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. We will have minutes next week. There was a technical problem. Reading communications, Mr. Griffin, Jim, any communication?
We have one letter. It's from the Delaware Community Foundation thanking council for its contribution to the First State Round Ball Fund at the Delaware Community Foundation. That's the Bayball Classic.
Any other correspondence from council? Being none. Dave?
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have a letter sent me by Larry Steele. I have his permission to have it read into the record in its entirety, if you would, Mr. Griffin. God, no way.
A memo from Lawrence B. Steele III, an attorney who lives in Bethel, regarding the Sussex land use plan. Some thoughts on the same. Dale, I enclosed part of an article from the Star, but more importantly, an article from the Wall Street Journal. Note on the second page of the journal article, Sussex County status shown by the highlighting. I think I'm beginning to understand that the governor and through her various agencies have a primary goal of as close to a zero population growth as possible for Sussex County. Since the statistics show that most young people are moving out of Sussex County to find good jobs, that means our influx of retirees must be about 2% per year of our population to make up for the young people leaving. If the state is really serious, then it should be responsible for buying our land instead of our selling it to developers. Fully funding the Agricultural Preservation Act, fully funding the state police in Sussex County, and hang out a big sign at the Maryland line that no retirees are wanted. Perhaps Delaware should impose a pension / 401k / IRA tax during the first 5 years of a new citizen's residency to discourage them from coming in. And in parentheses, stated tongue firmly in cheek. On the other hand, the state wants to make sure it continues to generate the tax receipts from our $1 billion per year resort vacation industry. Sussex County is, for better or worse, a land of leisure in Delaware. People come here to vacation, and consequently, people come here to retire. In the middle of that demand is our significant poultry industry and all of the various agricultural practices that industry drives. The state cannot have it both ways, a no-growth policy to protect farming and prevent development, but also have a robust vacation resort industry. You cannot open the bottle and ask people to come, then close it by expecting them to stay away when they realize how nice it is. I appreciate yours and the rest of council's efforts to protect the property rights of Sussex Countyans and to deal realistically with the conflicting demands that are made by our residents. Many of us have been here for generations. Some of us are come here as a various length. I'm a mere 37 years, and many of the newest just want to shut the border. If I had to share a conclusion, I think it would be that state government has truly failed to understand the dynamics of the conflicting demands in Sussex County, other than to simply count numbers of people in new homes, which is disappointing considering the governor is from Milford. Or has Ruth Ann become an old-timer who does not want to see change in her home country? As always, let me know if I can do anything to help Sussex County.
Dave,
thank you. Good morning. This morning we have, as we're well aware, representatives from the Delaware State Police here with us, and I'd like to introduce Lieutenant Colonel Mark Seaford and Major Randy Hughes, and also Joe Swiski, who's Chief of Administration for the State of Delaware Homeland Security. I don't know if they'd like to come up. We have today the first check for this fiscal year, fiscal 2008, for the Delaware State Police as part of our three agreements One, of course, that was approved several months ago. And this covers the period July through September. We are funding 36 officers over and above the state's normal allocations for Sussex County. The check for $578,530 includes funding for 7 replacement cars at a 50% level and 4 new cars for the new contract, plus personnel costs for the 36 officers. With that, I'll turn it over to Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Mm-hmm. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the invitation this morning. We wanted to come and thank you, obviously, for the continued partnership. And I'm joined, obviously, by members of the Delaware State Police Command staff. And I want to use an example of the partnership, which starts here in council, that carries over to the street. The leadership that starts here was exemplified yesterday morning when we had a terrible crash involving the Millsboro Volunteer Fire Company, and we had a Sussex County paramedic, John Schmidt, in the rear of that ambulance. Certainly, folks saw the media accounts. Our trooper first class, Roland Mills, in the back of the room was the first responder from DSP. But it wasn't just DSP. It was Volunteer Fire Service. It was Sussex County paid paramedics. Mr. Ludke's here this morning. I had a chance to talk with Glenn briefly about John's condition, and I'm a resident of Hocassin, so it made sense to me as the pages came in and I spoke to the command staff to go to the Christiana Hospital, where I met Wendy Schmidt, and we made sure that we used our aviation assets first for John and Frank DeFord, and then for the family to get them to be there with their the injured party. So again, the leadership and the partnerships that have started in these chambers carry over to the first responders on the street. And I can't think of a better example of where this funding is going and the benefit thereby. So thank you again for this opportunity to be here, and we sincerely appreciate the partnership and certainly the funding. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any questions, gentlemen?
We certainly do appreciate your service and
Absolutely.
The state police service for all of Sussex County, and yesterday was a perfect example of that. Yeah, thank you. And
we have
a check here.
Everybody.
And Randy said he wants the real check, though.
The real?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to get the budget report, and then Susie will see if we can get them cashing, huh?
Just in my hastiness to start my comments, I'll get in trouble, but obviously Secretary Mitchell, Cabinet Secretary for Safety and Homeland Security, and Colonel McLeish are both out of state attending to business today, and I'm sure they would have loved to have been here, so...
This is a real deal.
That's the only reason I came around.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I might use it.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Secretary, thank you very, very much. Washington, D.C. today, like Mark said. Very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is legislative update, and Mr. Godwin and myself are both going to cover this this topic. And would you like to start off, Hal?
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Mr. President, members of council, I have a handout for you first. This handout is simply a review of the current legislation in the Delaware General Assembly that we're watching and working on for Sussex County, and just kind of a latest update. The list starts off with House Bill 30, which is our spray bill currently. You know, it passed the House last session, and it remains in a Senate committee. House Bill 39 passed the House, and it too is in a Senate committee. That's the bill that will increase our Planning and Zoning Commission to 7 members. House Bill 42 has passed the House on the 22nd of this month and has not yet been assigned to a Senate committee. That Bill 42 will increase your size from 5 to 7. House Bill 111, the transfer tax bill, remains in the House Land Use Committee, and I should give you the good news, and that was on the 16th of January, there was a committee hearing scheduled, and a number of these bills that we're concerned about, including House Bill 111, was scheduled for discussion. But in the 11th hour, many of those issues were taken off that agenda, moved to the 23rd, and the 23rd committee hearing was also reduced down to just one issue, which is our House Bill 280. Which I'll talk with you about later, but the good news is that there were 4 bills to be discussed in committee that have been, shall we say, tabled or taken off the committee action list. So many of the bills we're concerned about have sort of been put on the back burner. House Bill 186, which is the no level 4 subdivisions, is the same as 111. It's in a House committee. The tax ditch bill, House Bill 189, passed the House June 28th of last year. It's currently in the Senate Finance Committee, and we do support that bill. House Bill 233, the school impact fees bill, is another one of those bills that remains in committee and was taken off the discussion list. The same for House Bill 239, which is the adequate public facilities bill. That bill has a number of problems within the state. I understand that even though it's state legislation, there are some state staff folks that are not supporting the bill, so that bill has been pulled from discussion. House Bill 244, the Transfer Development Rights Bill, same as above, it remains in House Committee. The latest bills that we're watching are House Bill 280, which is the roads bill. This is the bill that we've discussed that will require Sussex County roads to be built to state standards. This bill, Administrator Baker and I attended the committee hearing where this bill was to be discussed. The Land Use Infrastructure Committee voted this bill out of committee. It will be placed on the House ready list, but the primary sponsor, Representative Schwarzkopf, has promised us that he will not work this bill until June at the earliest time, giving us time to make some adjustments in our code as we had discussed with him. And he also said that he's very willing to work with us on this bill. This is not hostile legislation. And I also want to report to you that on the 23rd of this month, last Wednesday, House Bill 306 was introduced. This is the overlays bill that we've been expecting. I've given you copies of that bill. The synopsis of this bill simply states that this act clarifies that local governments may use overlay zones as planning and land use regulation tools without violation of the uniformity requirements of the Delaware Code, and clarifies the definition of and notice requirements for zoning changes and rezoning. So you can read through this bill. I have identified where in the bill other state codes are connected, and I have copies of those. So if you want to discuss this bill, please feel free to give me a call. I'm anxious to find out how you feel about this so I can properly represent you in the legislature. Mr. Baker, thank you.
I just wanted to mention regarding the suburban or the road bill, as Hal mentioned, that is waiting for the county to work on our particular amendments to the road project regulations. And Mr. Izzo's here today, and he will come back within a couple of weeks with a proposal regarding revising those regulations and a possible advisory committee of individuals to help with advice regarding those changes. The special development tax district proposal that we brought, that the council voted to support, that one we have lined up a number of sponsors and Representative Ewing, Senator Venables, and a number of other sponsors have indicated they will work that bill for us. And the Suburban Community Road Bill, which was sort of a housekeeping measure with absentee ballots and dates for referendums to provide us more flexibility to help with some of these projects. We have lined up, Representative Short said he will sponsor that, and we are lining up some other sponsors for it. The General Assembly will be out of session till March 11th, so we have a little bit of a break except for the Finance Committee. So we will, of course, be monitoring that, but the General Assembly itself will be out till March 11th. With that, the next item I have is the County Administrator's Report. The first item is we are pleased to announce that Mr. Jim Hicken, the County's Director of Airport and Industrial Park Operations, has been asked to serve on the Board of Trustees for the Delaware Aviation Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame has inducted 38 men and women since its inception in 2000. It honors outstanding service in aviation. We wish to congratulate Mr. Hicken on this appointment. The Delaware Department of Transportation is holding an informational workshop regarding the proposed capital transportation program for the fiscal years 2009 through 2014 at the South District Administration Building in Georgetown on Thursday, January 31st from 4 to 7 p.m. Focus of the workshop will be the draft capital transportation program for those years, and I know I will be attending that meeting. Proposed Gulf Village Sanitary Sewer District, the Engineering Department will be conducting a public hearing in the Council Chambers here tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Purpose of the hearing is to establish boundaries of the proposed Gulf Village Sewer District, and we will be back to the Council with a recommendation for you.
Where's Gulf Village? Which Gulf Village? Right out
it's
here?
It's outside of Georgetown, yes.
Just past Sussex Pines.
We received a petition from the residents there to provide central sewer service.
Georgetown's sewer service
working
anywhere
with,
nearby?
Well, Georgetown would handle the treatment, and we would handle the collection lines.
Okay.
So we have a...
I'm just wondering why they wouldn't do it all. I'm just curious. Anyway, go ahead. We'll cross that bridge later. I just make sure. That's where I thought it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Indian River Inlet Bridge attached is a news release from the Delaware Department of Transportation regarding the status of the project. As noted, three finalists for replacement of the bridge have been selected. Final approval of one of the proposals is expected in late spring. The new longer bridge is proposed to be 2,600 feet long with 900 feet over the inlet. Piers for the bridge are to be placed in the ground and remain out of the water. Beneficial acceptance. The Engineering Department granted beneficial acceptance on January 23rd to Epworth Methodist Church, Agreement 588. The project's located on Route 271, Holland Glade Road, in the Westerhoveth expansion of Dewey Beach Sewer District, consisting of the construction of the church. Attached is a fact sheet. An accident yesterday morning. As noted in the attached media release and as previously discussed here, there was an accident yesterday morning involving an ambulance from the Millsboro Fire Company. The collision occurred approximately 6:15 a.m. The vehicle crashed in the right rear side of the ambulance. Two EMTs from Millsboro Fire Company had been treated for injuries. One was treated at BB Hospital and released with minor injuries. EMT Frank DeFord is being evaluated at Christiana Hospital. Sussex County paramedic John Schmidt, a 15-year paramedic, was flown to Christiana and is being treated for possible head injuries. Our thoughts and prayers are with John Schmidt and his family. We hope that he recovers quickly. And Mr. Lucky is here today. Maybe Mr. Lucky give us an update on his status.
Thanks, Dave. The news is generally good. John is doing well. We were up with him. We had staff up there all day yesterday with John and his family. He was admitted for a diagnosis of multiple trauma. and was in serious condition on admission. He has a number of things have happened that are to the good. The breathing tube has been removed, which is always a good sign. He does have multiple fractures that they'll be dealing with. However, last night after we left at about 9:30, 10 o'clock. Apparently, after we left, he had the nurse call his wife. And his wife came back over, and they had a conversation after he'd been extubated. They were able, he was able to converse with his wife. He doesn't have much memory of the incident, which is probably a good thing. And but he is he's doing very well at this point. I think better than we had expected after the initial event yesterday. Frank DeFort is also doing well. Frank has been talking. He was admitted. He may be released today. We're not sure. John is going to be in obviously for a while because of the nature of his injuries. And as Dave mentioned, Mercy Berry was treated and released at BB Hospital. So we're glad for that outcome. Some things that you should know. Frank and Mercy, immediately after the crash, Frank and Mercy were in the front of the ambulance. John was in the back. They were returning from a call. They weren't on an emergency run at the time. They were stopped at a stop sign, in fact, when they were struck. After the ambulance was struck, Frank and Mercy exited the ambulance. John had been ejected. Frank and Mercy took care of John until the first units arrived, which was 2 minutes later. Right after that help arrived, Frank passed out and became the second priority one patient. So it was pretty heroic on their part to take care of our folks. I should also mention the support that we've had, which has been fantastic. Newcastle EMS, as soon as they found out about it, I had a call from my counterpart in Newcastle, Larry Tan. He sent staff over to the hospital who remained with the family all day. They arranged for lunch for the family. They arranged housing for the family so that Wendy is able to stay up there and be with John. We contacted the babysitter who happens to be the wife of another of our paramedics who took care of the kids and is taking care of their two children while Wendy is upstate taking care of John. Kent County EMS also was on the phone to us, and they're helping out today. They've already told me they're going to supply lunch today, and they had some folks there yesterday as well. The County Benefits Committee kicked in some money to help Wendy out just for the immediate expenses of getting a hotel and staying in a hotel and all of that, and as did our paramedic association. The other thing about this is that this was a group event. It wasn't just us. It involved a number of organizations: Millsboro Fire, Mid Sussex Rescue, LifeNet was the helicopter that actually transported John. Trooper 2 transported Frank. So we had two helicopters going up, and Trooper 2 ultimately, or Delaware State Police ultimately transported Wendy to the hospital to be with John. The support from Delaware State Police was incredible, and the county's critical incident stress management team also played a role in all of this, and we'll be getting back with them to thank them. We have heard from EMS departments and fire departments literally across the country, from as far away as I wrote them down this morning. We've heard from Ocean City, from Pittsburgh, from Caroline County, from Boston EMS, from Charlottesville, Virginia, Gorham, New Hampshire, College Park, Maryland, Montgomery County, Maryland. The list goes on. So our thoughts and prayers are with John and his family. He seems to be on the road to recovery. We're happy about that. We'll have staff up there. We have staff up there today, and we'll be up there supporting the family and doing whatever we have to do to get John back to work. And that's our ultimate goal. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to address them. Otherwise,
just a comment. I like to compliment yourself, the state police, and Chip and the PIO people yesterday. As soon as it occurred, you were all on top of it. And they got the facts out to dispel any rumors that occur in a tragedy like this. And I think that was a very positive thing. And, you know, of all the tragedies we have in emergency services, sometimes the facts aren't there, but you were on top of it very quickly. And Chip had stuff on the web, and it was factual. It wasn't trying to shadow anything from the media. It was telling what it was, what happened, and what was going on, and he had updates, and I think that was very positive yesterday, listening to the entire thing from its inception. So
one of the things that we were battling was there was a rumor out there that John had been killed, and that happened very, actually that rumor was out before we left the scene, and thanks to Chip for helping us get a press conference together, which we did at the Indian River Fire Company, whom I forgot to mention. Indian River was the first fire company on the scene, and they were tremendous. their ladies auxiliary came in and prepared some food for us, and we got everybody over there and held the press conference that did get the word out. Also, Wes Barnett from Delaware State Police was there with us to help, as well as representatives from Millsboro and from Indian River and Mid Sussex. So we did, we did attempt to get the word out right away, particularly in view of that rumor that went out. We wanted to scotch that one right away. That went out on an internet service, and we even enlisted the aid of a magazine publisher in California, of Gems Magazine, which is the leading trade magazine in our industry, and got him to help get to some of the online services that were putting this out and turn it around. We did have that turned around within a very short time, and we were grateful for that. Lord knows we didn't need that on top of everything else. So.
Good job.
Thank you. Hey,
thank you.
The last item I have is regarding the county pensioner, Barry Harrington. We are sorry to announce that Mr. Barry Harrington, a county pensioner, passed away on January 27th. He retired in August of 2002 with 20 years of service. He was 67 years old. He worked in the engineering department as a purchasing agent and maintenance worker 3 at the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility for 20 years. We wish to express our condolences to Mr. Harrington's family. Thank you.
Any questions, gentlemen?
Good morning.
Who are you? What's your address?
I think it's too light. Yeah. Okay.
For the record.